Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard. Wow, yesterday 65 degrees, today 35 degrees. I don't get it, but I can tell you that is that sounds like flu weather, and man, that is exactly what I've suffered through this past week. So hey, a big shout out to Mucinex and chicken soup and plenty of orange juice. That's the only thing that gets it done, and a lot of rest. So we're able to get well, get healthy, and get our show on today. Bringing back old friend Dave Owens. For you guys that don't know or new listeners, the Extra Points Radio Show started as a two-man band in 30 minutes. And some kind of way, Dave and I got that done, and Dave used to always press the button for me on the board here, on the studio board. And he said, yeah, coach, it's real easy. I said, Dave, I'll never learn how to do that. Well, Dave, I'm pressing the buttons now, so I'll be pressing the buttons in a few minutes and having him come in, because he's moved on to do some big things. And maybe some of you have seen his work and you don't even know that you've seen Dave Owens behind the lens. So looking forward to that. Of course, as always, we got to get our pay attention topic going. So why don't we get right into those, shall we? We've got several things that we could talk about. Thing one, yesterday the Nets quietly, very quietly, avoided arbitration for three key players. Well, at least two of them are. Anthony Rendon, Tanner Roark, and Michael A. Taylor. And it was interesting because Rendon really cashed in. So the way the arbitration deal works, for those of you that don't know, what teams try and do, owners try and do, is to avoid arbitration, because arbitration is primarily based on what the market value is. So it's almost like you could almost equate it to franchise tagging in the NFL for lay terms. But there are a lot of legalese that make it way different as well. But Rendon really cashed in. Rendon signed a one-year, $12.3 million deal. Why do I say he cashed in? Million-dollar raise for him. So, and I think rightfully so. This guy arguably was an MVP candidate for most of the season. Unfortunately, he plays on a team with some other really super, super stars like Bryce Harper and Max Scherzer. But, you know, I'm glad that he got paid. Now, the issue is going to be, what happens after this year? Will they sign him long term? He's only 27 years old. Will they sign him and lock him in for a while, or, you know, go, hey, we can find a third baseman anywhere, and let's go ahead and do that. So I don't know. Now, still cashing in was Tanner Roark, who you know, signed a $4.3 million deal. So he got a raise of about $1.5 million. Not sure about that one. You know, he was supposed to be the fourth starter. That never really materialized. He did a little bit better in long relief, but I think this is a make or break year for Tanner. And if he cannot, you know, get to, I would say, at least 12 wins, maybe 10 to 12 wins, then they're probably going to move on from him. And then Michael A. Taylor. And Michael A. Taylor's never had to go to arbitration, so there's nothing really to see if he cashed in. But they're getting Michael A. Taylor for a steal. He signed a $2.5 million contract. So I'm just curious as to what he made last year for the amount of clutch hitting and arguably golden glove defense out in center field. And remember, he was not the opening day starting center fielder. And, you know, to get him just to $2.5 million, I think they got Michael A. Taylor for cheap. So I would look for this to be Michael A. Taylor's last season with the Nets. He can garner more money out on the free market, and I think he'll do that. So quietly, the Nets made some moves yesterday, and all good moves. Next thing we could talk about in our pay attention topic segment, Sloan Stephens. So with the Aussie Open just coming up, you know, I went back and I looked and I said, well, what's she done since the U.S. Open, which was in September? Well, I got to tell you, it hasn't been good. She has not won a match since winning the finals of the U.S. Open. And just to make it worse, her losses have come to players that are ranked 78th or worse. And so, you know, you got to wonder, hey, what's going on? Well, I guess I wasn't the only one wondering it, because all you got to do is Google Chris Evert's comment. And Chris Evert, known for being, I don't know, a little hard on the sisters, because back in 06, Evert made some commentary that Serena, who had already won 7 slams at that time, was not committed enough to the game and maybe won't ever win a slam again. Serena's up to 23 right now. So Chrissy was wrong on that one. But she did it again. She said that Sloan does not have the desire or the burn in her to win slams. And, you know, kind of threw her some shade, I guess, and that wasn't good. I was a little surprised at Chris Evert, Lord. I'd look for her to be more of a mentor than to kind of give that. So, but nonetheless, Sloan did fire back and say, hey, you know, yeah, I'm young and this is all new to me, this newfound celebrity. And now she said she's getting, you know, triple the amount of interviews and tweets and this, that, and the other. And it's sometimes overwhelming for her. So hope she gets herself surrounded by good people and bounces back in this Aussie Open. Believe she's got an opening round match tomorrow against an unranked player. So let's pull for Sloan. Next thing we could talk about forever. Roll Tide. So as anyone who listens to the Extra Points Radio show knows, I'm a big fan of the process and the way they get things done down in Alabama. But what was disappointing was to hear the little Shanny got snake bitten. That's Shanahan from the 49ers. Reuben Foster was drafted and started middle linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers and should be a staple in that new 49er defense. Unfortunately, he went back to Tuscaloosa, I guess, to celebrate the big win. And he picked up a second-degree marijuana charge. So, you know, it's funny because when you look at the process and you look at what Saban's done down in Tuscaloosa and with Alabama, Reuben Foster was a top-10 pick. The Redskins were looking at him long and hard. They went through free agency, got Zach Brown, which I thought was a better pick anyway. But you go from a guy like Reuben Foster, who, you know, really led that Alabama team, to now they've got 4 of their current guys have already said they're going pro. 2 days after winning the national championship, they're gone. Bo Scarborough is one of those, one of my favorite backs. So you got guys going to the league. You got guys already in the league who are screwing up. And then you got Hurts versus Tua. And that's really what I wanted to get at was this Hurts Tua saga. And that's what it's going to turn out to be after the feel-good wears off. Love Hurts. Love Jalen Hurts. Great character guy. Spring ball is going to be coming around. I think this will end, this Hurts Tua saga will end before spring ball because I believe Hurts will be somewhere else. He'll make a business decision. Once the feel-good is off of winning the national championship and you've washed your T-shirt a couple times and the hat's worn its wear, I think Hurts is going to go, hey, wait. I was 26-2. Because remember, he gets credit for the national championship win because he started the game. I'm 26-2, and I'm not the starter going into the following season when we won the national championship. I'm out of here. And I think there's some people who would be listening. Definitely some people out on the West Coast would listen. But I think Texas A&M is probably already reaching out to Hurts to say, hey, Jimbo, come on down here. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But I can tell you, I think that the newness, the shine of the championship is going to wear off in a business decision made. So to talk about those three things forever, but here is our reel on this Martin Luther King birthday weekend. So everyone's all excited today. We got NFL playoffs are back in the fold. The colleges are starting to do their all-star games. The top 20 basketball, college basketball is in full effect, both on the men's and women's side. But February 8th, let us not forget, which is shortly after the Super Bowl, the Winter Olympics start out in Seoul, in Pyongyang, South Korea. And there are a couple names I want you to think about as you watch the Winter Olympics. I enjoy watching the Winter Olympics. I like some sports more. I love the luge. Don't turn from the luge. Love bobsledding. Love the slalom and giant slalom, the downhill, all that good stuff. Of course, the ice skating, speed skating. But the hockey team. So you can go all the way back to Miracle and find out that the United States Team USA is a big deal in our country. And there's a guy named Jordan Greenway. He's going to be the first black man to play on the U.S. hockey team. And I think that's a pretty good deal. He goes to Boston University, BU, which is known for being in the Frozen Four every year, 14. And so we're really looking forward to following the hockey team as we always do, but with a special light this year with Jordan Greenway making that team. So congratulations to him. And then, of course, a name you should already know if you follow Winter Olympics is Shawnee Davis. Shawnee's making his fifth straight Winter Olympics. Fifth straight Winter Olympics. That means he's been doing this 20 years. And Shawnee's a speed skater, and he skates in the 1,000 meters, won a gold at the last Olympics, and is favored to win gold this year in the Olympics in the 1,000-meter speed skating competition. So root for Shawnee again. This will probably be his last one, so definitely root for him. And you want to see some great speed skating, Shawnee can do it for you. And then there's a new kid on the block. New kid on the block is Mamie Bynum. Mamie's a local kid. Also, her sport is speed skating from right here in Virginia, Northern Virginia. And she made the team. She made the U.S. speed skating team on the women's side. This will be her first Olympics. So, you know, what a mentor to have in a guy like Shawnee. And so so we're excited for her. So that gives you another reason to pull and watch the Winter Olympics. So so looking forward to that. And if you don't get a chance to see any of the three of them, just keep in mind of this, that, you know, there's a great speech about having a dream. And all three of these athletes have dreams. And part of that dream is going to be played out during 2 weeks in South Korea starting February the 8th. So good luck to Team USA. So, hey, listen, we're excited about having our guy, Dave Owens, come in and talk about some of the stuff he's doing. And, you know, it's funny because when you do these shows, you know, I kind of tell stories, and I think people kind of figure out who I am through the stories I tell. But Dave just came right in and did the job, and we never really talked about who is Dave Owens. So I'm looking forward to kind of reconnecting and re-meeting him. So he'll like this. The break music has not changed. It will not change. So, Chuck, take us to break, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. money is flowing all over the place. Just found out Manny Machado from the Baltimore Orioles also avoided arbitration, and he signed a one-year deal, $16 million. So poor Rendon, not quite making the money that the guy's making up north. Man, this baseball money just flies around. It's large, large money. So get your kid a bat and a ball and a glove. So, hey, listen, I'm excited about our guest coming in. When I think about this show and the Extra Points radio show, I remember meeting Dave Owens actually at one of my practices. He was working at WSA Channel 9 and was doing a story on the DC Divas. And I thought he's going to be there like 5 minutes and really just in the way. But nonetheless, he wasn't in the way. He really was a contributor. They still use some of the video that Dave took that day, and he spent an entire 2 hours with us. And I thought that was great for him to trek all the way out to the suburbs and spend time with those ladies and really get their stories. And that's kind of the guy he is. And we were joined at the hip for a while here on the Extra Points radio show, and I can tell you, pressing these buttons wouldn't have happened without him. So nothing's changed, Dave. So, of course, we always say, Dave Owens, are you there?
What's going on, Coach? Good Saturday
there
morning to you, man. I see you pressing buttons, man. And, boy, times have changed.
Times have changed, man. I remember when this thing was, 30 minutes and two guys trying to cram in a guest and all that, and now 1 hour, and we got even bigger plans coming up for 2018, so, we're real excited. But we aren't the only ones making moves. Sounds like you are too. But before I get into that, Dave, like I was saying, people never had an opportunity to get to know, like, who is Dave Owens, and I think it's important to know who he is when you hear the rest of what he does. So tell us, who is this guy from Detroit? Who is that guy?
Well, thanks for having me on again, Coach. And it's an honor to be back. So let me just start there. It just seems like, man, we started this show 2 years ago, is it, or a year ago? It's amazing that we've gotten
December 2015. I believe it was
December
2015. Yeah.
Wow. So you're going on sounds 2 years now and doing a great job.
Yep.
But no, man, I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and you're right. I mean, I guess you start these shows, you never really get a chance to talk about, who you are. But from Detroit, Michigan, went to the Naval Academy, played football there. A lot of people don't know that. But back in the days when Navy wasn't that good, the mid-90s, and spent 6 years in the military and loved my time there. And been to the Persian Gulf and got out of the Navy and wanted to get into journalism, so started doing that. Got into TV. Had no idea how to be a journalist because they don't teach that stuff to you at the Naval Academy, but you just learn it. And like a lot of military folks do, you just figure it out, and that's what I did. And so for the next 17, 18 years, from 2000 to now, really just going around the country, being a television reporter, a lot of sports involved there. So, Southern California, Northern California, Shreveport, Louisiana, and Washington, D.C., which is what got me here. And so master's degree in business. As you know, the business is changing a lot. And so contract wasn't renewed from Channel 9 in 2016. And that's what sort of got Visionary Media Productions born, and that's where I am today, man, doing some what I like to think are exciting things with a new company. So I'm excited, man.
Well, before I ask you about that Visionary Media production, I got to ask you, because I was writing a couple notes down when you were going through that bio. Now, are you a Lions fan? Because they went 0-16 one year. Okay. So you know that, right?
Yeah, I know that. I know that. I mean, so here's the funny thing.
Let me be the guy to remind you.
Yeah, remind me that. I'm a big Barry Sanders fan. So, if you – knowing my age and just hearing that story, I was – you can kind of track it through, and you being a coach and you follow football. I was in the stands the day at the Silver Dome now, which just recently got imploded. I was in the stands the day that Barry Sanders ran for 2,000 yards. I think he was the first since O.J. to do, or no, maybe the second or whatever. And in that very same game, one of the Detroit Lions had a serious neck injury. You may or may not remember that back this 1996 or something like that. But, yeah, man, I love the Lions. I've been through the ups and downs, mostly downs. And but I still – hey, man, I still rock the Honolulu Blue, Coach.
Honolulu Blue. Now, I also heard in that bio that you're a Navy guy. You know that,
yeah.
Ken N is up for the Arizona job. I think he's rolling out this time. I think he's gone this time. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, I wish him the best. And I had a feeling, because, you know, last year, or was it 2 years ago, he was a candidate for the BYU job. And a lot of people didn't necessarily think that the triple option was a good fit there. I didn't think it was a good fit there. But he has a son, I believe, that is at BYU or involved in that program there. Yeah, so, you know, me and some alumni, we certainly heard that. Not surprised. I mean, I think he's done a great leadership job there. I mean, certainly teaching the triple option, you got to have a certain expertise in that. But I think more than that, to be able to win 7, 8, 9 games a year at an academy, I think it says something for your leadership. So I'm not surprised that there are a lot of jobs out there, a lot of schools that are saying, hey, we want this guy. You know, will he run the triple option at Arizona? Probably not, or maybe he can run a version of it. But not surprised, Coach, that he's up for that job. And if he takes it, hey, man, wish him the best. And Navy will have to get somebody else in there and keep it moving, man. Things change, as you know.
Yeah, well, he's got Khalil Tate at quarterback, so he can do whatever he wants on offense. And then
yeah.
Finally, one last thing I wanted to mention was, and one of the mm-hmm. things that I thought made you the great guy you are, you know, one thing about sports, I don't care if you're on the field or off of it and behind a mic or camera, whatever, if you do it long enough, you're not going to
mm-hmm.
do it. And one of the things I've always tried to do is not only learn and grow from those type of transitions, but really be transparent about it so that, you know, I kind of want people to see that. Like, hey, look, like I've overcome that, you know, that change or that
yeah.
transition, whatever it was. And I noticed you do that. And I think the best way you do it is Visionary Media Production. So tell us about that. What is Visionary Media Production?
Yeah, you know, back in 2016, you know, I had just gone through – not having my contract renewed, and as you know, I mean, you're a coach, you're a professional, you know, things don't always last forever, and things don't always work out in your favor, and you got to suck it up and figure it out and move forward. But you know, the industry was and is changing, and I tell that to people. You know, you and I may have grown up on you know, the George Michaels and the other, you know, people that we knew, and the 5 o'clock news model was certainly something that people rallied around. That's not the case anymore. And so as the industry changes, as people are, you know, turning to mobile devices and turning away from the 5 o'clock news model as much, you know, I mean, sometimes you have less staffing, and I was one of those cuts. That being said, yeah, man, I didn't want to not storytell like I always have loved to do. And so I started to think to myself, you know, how can I continue to be a storyteller, bring people the content that they want, and not necessarily do it as a sportscaster at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock? Because I could have moved and gone somewhere else. I thought about it. It was definitely a decision I had to juggle, but I decided, why do that? I mean, that job could be taken away, you know, in short
right.
order. So
in a heartbeat.
I began in a heartbeat. I mean, so you're in Richmond, you're in Columbus, you're in Texas. So what? I mean, that you know, that job could be taken. One of the benefits of my comeuppance, Coach, is that, you know, I learned how to shoot a camera, edit, write, do all kinds of things. And so produce, direct. So I began creating stories for clients, which then turned into – and, you know, you think about it, what's a commercial? It's a story. So, you know, we do everything at Visionary Media Productions, VMP, we like to call it. everything from short stories. We do promotional videos. We do documentary style stuff. We do a lot of things, and clients out there who are looking for that stuff to populate social media, to populate the ways in which they get that information to their clients is sort of where we fill that, you know, we kind of fill that void for them when they don't have the staffing to do it. And as you know, we're sort of in the middle of this digital age now. I mean, we're just kind of really trying to figure out how do we harness this doggone thing called the internet. And there's a lot of companies who need help in doing that. We help them get there. And I've been working with Prince George's County now for the last 2 years on a pretty significant contract to do that.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned earlier on in the interview that, you know, you weren't taught coming right out of the military. They didn't teach you, you know, how to be a broadcast journalist. You weren't taught that.
No.
But in essence, by them not teaching you, it sounds like you taught yourself not only how to do the job at hand, but then to do all the support roles around your job. And now you're kind of a one-man band that, you know, you can, like you said, I can direct it, I can write it, I can shoot it, I can speak it, I can do all those things.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. Now, I looked at some of these names you got on here as customers, and one of them is Starwood, of which I've been a long-time member. And I know that they do some really good videos. And then I also know that you recently did one. And I'm not bragging, but whoever did the voiceover was really, really good. I mean, I don't know where you found that guy, but wherever you found that voice is amazing.
He was a superstar,
now,
man.
Let me ask you about this contract now, Prince George's School.
Yeah.
And all of my buddies are there. You know that. All of my buddies, from Dr. Mm-hmm. Kevin Maxwell, who's at the top of the house, to Ed Shields and all the way in between, a million teachers. Now, you got mm-hmm. this thing PG-13, which is the title catches me because I'm going PG-13.
Yeah.
Like, what is this all about? So tell a listening audience about specifically PG-13, because this is a great work you do.
Well, I appreciate that, man. And so 2 years ago, I decided that, you know, we see these short films, these short documentary style stories. And I've always been a big fan of that style of stuff, you know, ESPN 30 for 30 type stuff. And I always thought to myself, man, you know, I'd love to try to do something like that on a smaller scale. Now, I'm not here to say that this stuff is ESPN 30 for 30 caliber. My thought, though, was I would love to tell some stories about around sport that didn't just involve touchdowns, points, rebounds, goals, kicks, all that stuff. You can get that anywhere. And so I began to follow around, you know, sports programs. And Suitman and Ed Shields was the first to let me do it. And I would follow these teams around, and I would shoot them on my own, out of my own pocket. It was no one helped me, no one funded it, no one anything. And so you just start doing that stuff. And you shoot four or five times, and you know how this thing is. You're a coach, but really you're going through a life cycle. You know, when you coach at Crossland, yeah, you're coaching football, but, I mean, stuff happens on a day-to-day basis. I mean, players don't show up because of stuff. Then they do, then they don't. You're trying to get kids into college. So those stories sort of unfolded, and in 4 or 5 minute segments, I mean, I would put together these PG-13 episodes, and it was everything from, like we just mentioned, yeah, you're getting ready for a game, but this kid's trying to go to school, and, you know, he's trying to figure that stuff out, and all of that stuff, you know. So it just really became, like a lot of things, you don't expect it to become what it is, but then it starts to blossom. Then a coach would call me and say, hey, why don't you come to our school? And then, hey, why don't you come to our school? And it exploded, and Prince George's County enjoyed it, and they liked it so much that they wanted to make it a part of their communications program for this year, their communications process. So this year we're in partnership with them, and you know, we go around to schools, good and bad. You know, whether you're 14-0 like Wise or 2-7, there is a great story to be told, And it's, yeah, it's a little football, basketball, baseball, whatever, but it's human interest as well, school, community. And what we found, Coach, and you know this, having been at Crossland, there are good families, good young men and women, good coaches,
oh, yeah,
great people in every community, in every town, and they're doing great trench work. And that's what we found in these great episodes. So, you know, when you go
well,
to
you know,
Prince
I
George's
enjoy
County,
watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy watching it, Dave, because, first of all, it reminded me of, you know, where I played and where I coached. And I can tell you, having been a lot of places, there's nothing like Prince George's County. And your videos are very authentic, and they're real. I mean, these are real stories that that you – I know you've seen them and like, whoa. You know, because we used to have some of these coaches on the show, if you remember. And these guys
yeah.
would tell us, you know, hey, this happened, that happened. It's one thing to get it over a radio interview, but it's another thing when you're actually right there and you got to turn the camera off and walk to your car with the same kid and their family. So I know that. So how do people find out more about Visionary Media Productions and how can they see some of your work, that sort of thing? How do they get you?
Visionary Media Productions, www.visionarymediaproductions.com. You know, .net, and so that's where we that's where you can find out about, you know, the Visionary Media Productions part of it. And as you said, I mean, we do a lot of stuff, man. Starwood Hotel promotional videos. We shot one just recently for Etsy, the online space where a lot of craft people who are entrepreneurs who make, you know, unique crafts and stuff like that. They are looking for sell or buyers to for their product. I spent a day down in on a farm, man, in Southern Virginia, shooting this story on this lady who raises sheep, Coach. She raises sheep from birth and to make wool blankets. So you got to check that one out. That one's good.
Wow.
And then when you want to, yeah, it was a great story. And then, if, of course, if you want to, you know, hear about or see the episodes on PG-13, go to the Prince George's County Facebook page and YouTube page, PGCPS, you know, Facebook page and YouTube page, and they've got them all there. And, again, they're great stories, objective stories, too. I mean, we don't sugarcoat it, but we tell the good, the bad, and all that other stuff, so.
Well, speaking of the good, the bad, and all that other stuff, I wouldn't be able to have you on the line and not ask you about one Kirk Daniel Cousins, my personal favorite.
Coach, are you
kidding right. So Dave, when last we spoke, I was trying to run that guy out of here. I said, there's no way they're going to franchise him again, and they did. what say you? What is going to happen with this guy? You know, you've got right now, it's kind of senior bowl season. You know, people
yeah.
kind of fall asleep on those games. I don't. I'm a junkie for those
I
games.
Know.
There's some great quarterbacks out there. You know, let's not say that the Skins couldn't get Sam Darnold or what's the Rosen, because they could package
right.
up some sort of deal. You know, they could put Cousins in the deal. What in the world do you think is going to end up happening, not only with Kirk Daniel Cousins, but then who's going to be the quarterback next season?
Well, I think the horse has left the stable or the barn or whatever you want to call it, because from the people that I talked to and the people and the things that I've heard, I mean, they gave him the deal and the franchise tag, and he made a lot of good money, but I think the fact that they didn't lock him up last year with an offer that made him feel like, listen, we're giving you a serious offer, I think that sort of rubbed him the wrong way. And now I think he's at a point where, you know, he's probably going to leave the building. I think that he's at a point where he feels like they weren't serious. And there's some other teams out there that are ready to give him a big mega deal. Now, whether you think he deserves it or not, that's, you know, that you could talk about that all day long. I think Washington made a big mistake in that, in the sense that when you watch quarterbacking around the NFL, I mean, some of it's garbage. I mean, I watched
yeah.
Bills,
oh, yeah.
Jags last week. That might have been the worst football game played by two quarterbacks in the same game that I've ever seen. Tyrod Taylor, who got knocked out of the game, he was garbage. He threw for 137 yards, and he was the best quarterback on the field.
Because Bortles, I think, threw for 86 yards and ran for 87. I mean, this is bad, bad football. You're right. You're right. So you think that he's gone. And then, so who replaces?
You know, I think they may try to go, maybe they try to go the veteran route and bring somebody in who's kind of a placeholder. You know, listen, Alex Smith might be available out there. Who knows? I think if they go young, here's the problem. I think their team is an 8-8, 7-9 football team. And when you throw a rookie quarterback, when you throw a rookie quarterback behind that, who's got to learn the offense, who's got to learn the skill set, who's got to learn how the pro game is played, I think you set yourself back a little bit. So, I think it was a mistake because, like him or not, he's a manageable, serviceable quarterback, and there's only like 12 or 15 of those people in the league. And so, you're going to let this guy go and start over with Darnold or Rosen, unproven, good luck.
Well, you know, what I wanted to do from really early on, as you know, I was always a staunch supporter of Robert Griffin III. Did not like the way that transaction went down. Now, don't get me wrong. After his injury, his play declined. I get it. But there's some things I thought they could have done. I thought they let the offensive line go to kaput. There's some things they could have done to help him along. They didn't. Okay, he's gone. But I really was all for Colt McCoy. I was always for Colt McCoy, and here's why. Because Colt McCoy is still going to throw for about 3,500 yards. He's going to be 2-1 in touchdowns to interceptions, and he's going to be 8-8 because the team's 8-8. So I'm saying go ahead and cut your losses now, save all of that money that they paid over the last 2 years in the franchise tag, and put that money on defense, right? So at least you have a really stout defense. And now you can go out and get Rosen and those guys. Now, I can tell you the guy I want them to get is the quarterback out of Wyoming. He's a pretty good kid, tall. And so, just because they're not going to get Rosen. Those guys are going to be, they're going to want the house for and Cousins isn't the house. I mean, and here's the other thing, Dave. You can't win the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. At the end of the day, you want a quarterback that you can win a Super Bowl with. Hey, look, the Titans are awful, right? But you know what? Put Mariota on a better team, you could say, hey, you could win a Super Bowl with Marcus Mariota. You know what I mean? I don't agree with that.
We've always differed. We've always differed.
There we go. Thank
you,
old Dave. You don't agree with that. Go ahead.
But, I mean, I think Mariota is I thought he was awful last week, and the only reason that
he was awful?
Tennessee is playing this week, well, he was awful in the first half. He got it going in the second half, and when he got it in rhythm, he was able to make some plays. He still only threw for 200 yards the whole game. But my point is Mariota is one of those quarterbacks who he's only in his second or third year, so he's growing into it, but he's still got it. If you watched that game, and I know you did, he's got a ways to go. He's one of those quarterbacks who he needs everything to be going right for him to direct his team down the field. But back to Kirk, I mean, I think we just disagree on that. Can you win a Super Bowl with him? Sure you can. I think you can. I'm not saying he's Joe Montana or Peyton Manning or any of these other guys. But if you have a top 12, 13, 14, 15 quarterback who can go out there and throw for 300 and 350 yards and is he going to make some mistakes? Of course he is. But, again, you can win the Super Bowl with a guy like Kirk Cousins. If you got things around him and other people are playing well, I think you certainly can do that. Now, will they? They certainly won't because he's probably going to be gone. But I just think you can. That's just my opinion on that.
Well, and you know what? That's the way it was years ago when we first started this show. I say something, you say, I don't agree with that. And it worked then, and it works now. Dave, I tell you, man, it's great to have you on. I could talk to you a whole hour because you're a good guy, and you're out in this community here, especially the work you're doing for the Prince George's kids. I know that lady with the sheep. I'm gonna watch that video. I'm sure
check
that's
out,
interesting.
Man.
But I know that the stuff you've done with these kids out here, along with good guys like Ed Shields, has changed some lives. And I saw you got an award from the school system for a job well done. So congratulations on that. So hey man, anytime you want to come into the Extra Points Radio Show, you know you're always welcome.
Appreciate it, Coach. As always, keep up the good work, man. And you said earlier, I've moved on. That's not really true. I mean, you've taken that thing and you've moved it to a place that was way better than when we were working together. So I applaud you on that, man. You know we're always good friends, and whenever you need me, I'll try to be here as much as I can. But honored to talk to you this Saturday morning, man.
You got it, man. Dave Owens, Visionary Media Productions, and all-around good guy. We appreciate Dave coming in. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break here. You know how people always say, like in TV, they say, oh, we got to go pay some bills. Well, hitting this button to play Chuck doesn't pay any bill, but hey, that's what we're going to do. And then we'll be right back, and we're going to do our two-minute warning and our predictions, of course. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Money. I know a man that was never motivated by money, and that makes for an excellent two-minute warning on this weekend that we celebrate, you know, arguably the greatest American of all time, a man that laid his life on the line day in and day out to discover his dreams, which opened up dreams for so many others. So if you got a minute, and I'm sure you will, between NFL football games and all the errands that you run and this and that and the other, just remember Dr. King. Of course, for all of us that have dreams, there are times when that's all you can hold on to is your dream. That's all you can hold on to. You know, our guest, Dave Owens, had a dream to start his own business. He did it. He got his dream came true. I mean, there are people all over the place that have dreams. And so just make sure that you recognize that Dr. King's speech, I Have a Dream, you can listen to it at any time. If you ever want to be motivated and inspired, it's art at its finest. So, hey, real quick, before we get into our predictions for this week, I did want to do a quick wraparound on DC sports. So, you know, we did already talk about the Nationals and of course, the arbitration that they avoided over yesterday. But what we didn't talk about was we still got Bryce Harper. That's still going to be an issue. So when you look at these numbers going up, it is still not unbelievable to believe that Bryce Harper will sign for $500 million. I don't know if it's going to be here. I think it's going to be Chicago Cubs. That's been the ongoing rumor. His best friend plays for the Cubs. Just signed a one-year, $10 million contract, Chris Bryant. So that's where I think he'll end up. But, you know, the Nats may, you know, get rid of everybody and sign him because I think they'll still fill up the stands even if it's a one-man band. So Nats right now just resting, getting ready for spring training. Pitchers and catchers report the last week in February. And then, of course, the rest of the team comes first week in March. So quiet on the Nats front. Caps, big win last night over the Hurricanes. They were down throughout the game and then got a late goal with 2 seconds left to beat the Hurricanes 4-3. Caps still in first place, playing really, really well, both at home and on the road. We just do not want them to peak too soon. I continue to talk about that. So if you see them going on a huge win streak, that's not a good thing. They need to win like 2 or 3 in a row and then lose one and then win like 4 in a row and then lose 2. That's what they need so that they don't get that big head and lose early out in the playoffs, NHL. Very disappointing. I was watching Stephen A. Smith during the week really break down the Wizards and just not playing to the potential, which is surprising. You know, they've got two legit all-stars and maybe a third, which is part of the problem right there, is maybe a third. The teams that go to the championship have 3 all-stars. The Wizards have 2. And so that's a problem. I think Gortat is basically done, ready to retire. You know, rumor of being traded back to Orlando. I don't know if that's going to happen. But, you know, even Scott Brooks, who did a great job at OKC, it's almost like Scott Brooks does better with little talent than he does with lots of talent. They're just not they're playing down to the competition. You know, this team's, you know, 25-18. That's just okay. We're halfway through the season. I mean, they're just an okay team. So they're the 5th seed right now. You really want to squeeze into that top 4. So that you can get the home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. If you're 5th, you're going to go on the road for the playoffs. And I don't know if they win in the first round. So, you know, Boston's going to get healthier and healthier. Cleveland's going to get healthier and healthier. And, you know, these teams that are always 9th and 10th are always going to make a run. Would you want to see Milwaukee? Would you want to see the Bucks right now? I would. So I think that the Wizards got some work to do. We'll see what happens. Redskins. So, of course, they've got to do something with Kirk Daniel Cousins. They signed a couple guys to some futures contracts, but they got to look at their free agents. They signed a lot of one-year deals last year to include Terrell Pryor, which I don't know what's taking them so long to rid themselves of that one. But they got a lot of guys. Zach Brown was on a one-year. They said that's their number one priority on the free agent side as far as retaining free agents. They got to do that. You know, they're going to get Colt McCoy for cheap. I believe he's in contract. So he's making money of a backup quarterback, which is about $1 million. So, you know, their quarterback position will be cheap. So they should free up some money by not having Kirk Cousins on the roster anymore. So we just got to watch and see what they do. We got to see who's going to pick the players. Will it be Doug Williams? Will it be Bruce Allen still? Don't know. Looks like on the coaching staff front, Matt Kavanaugh, old Pitt guy, maybe they're weaning him out a little bit. Not sure on that one, but it seems like it. And on defense, you know, it looks like they're going to keep Greg Minuski. I thought they should keep Greg Minuski. I thought that the defense was better, although still not good, but I thought it was better than it was the previous year under Rich Barry. So, to be honest with you, I think Minuski would be a pretty good head coach. So I don't mind keeping him around at all. So looks like the coaching staff is going to pretty much stay intact. I'm a little surprised they're going to stay with the special teams coordinator. Special teams was awful. I'm really surprised that they got to find somebody in the return game. Crowder's not the guy, so maybe they're already looking for that in the Senior Bowl and Hula Bowl and all of these other senior all-star games. So that's that on that. Let's get into the prediction. Last week, 1-4. Now, we did get the money ball right, which was Roll Tide over Uga. So good for Alabama. That was a great ball. Continues to amaze. But 1-4, not a good start this year. So we got to come back, and we got to get some we got to get some wins here. So so here's what we got. We got New England over Tennessee. So I think New England beats Tennessee just because Tennessee isn't good enough. Now, Derrick Henry's a horse, and I think if they just continue to hand the ball off to him, Tennessee could keep that game close, but the experience, the mystique of the Patriots. Now, what we're going to find find out is all the noise that they do such a good job of blocking out, will they be able to block that noise out? Don't know that one for sure. We'll see. Let's just put it that way. We'll see. I like the Steelers over Jacksonville. Again, Blake Bortles is just, you know, when you look at Roethlisberger versus Bortles, a no-brainer. And so I just think the Steelers are better. I think Antonio Brown's more than healthy. I think he's fine and ready to go. I mean, he's really ready to go. You know, he sat out a couple weeks. I think he just needed some rest. His body had some wear and tear on it. And I think he – now, you got Jalen Ramsey to cover it. So that'll be a real good test for both guys to see, you know, where are we as far as, you know, who's the dominant guy. But I think you got to go with the Steelers in that game. They're at home. You know, it's just hard to beat them when they're at home. So got Steelers in that one. I got Atlanta over Philadelphia, and here's why. Again, it's the quarterback position. I like Nick Foles. I think he's a really good player, but he's not Carson Wentz. And the Atlanta Falcons running back tandem, I mean, they are really, really good, and they hand the ball off more with Sarkisian than they do with Lil Shanny. I know Lil Shanny likes to run, but Sarkisian really runs the ball a lot. And especially when it takes a while for Julio to get going. And so I don't see the Eagles being able to score enough points. The Eagles got good defense, but Atlanta, there's something about this Atlanta team. I mean, they win this one. They're right back in the NFC Championship game. And there are a lot of players on that team that were, you know, in the Super Bowl last year and starving to get back. So I'm going to go with the ATL on that one. And then New Orleans over Minnesota. So I picked New Orleans to go to the Super Bowl and play New England. I think they're the best all-around team. You talk about running backs. They may have the two best running backs other than Atlanta's two. But they got Matt Ryan, Matty Ice. The Saints got Drew Brees. I'm sorry. Drew Brees, who's better than Matty Ice even. He's thrown for 70,000 yards. Is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Going up against Case Keenum. And I know Case Keenum has taken – you know, some bumps and people don't quite trust him yet and that sort of thing. But let me tell you something. He has performed, but it's their defense. And so it's really going to be their defense against the Saints offense. And the Saints pulled out their passing game last week. So if they come back to the run game, like, you really don't know what they're going to do now. You know, are they going to run Kamara, who is really can run? Or are they going to run, you know, Mark Ingram between the tackles, or are they going to, you know, just leave it up to Drew Brees? We don't know. And it's that type of off balance that I think will be overwhelming for Minnesota. And so I got New Orleans winning it. Now, New Orleans wins that one on the road. They would then go home to play Atlanta, or they would go to Philadelphia and play Philadelphia at Philadelphia. I think New Orleans wins both of those games easily. So, really, this is the hardest game for New Orleans right here. If they can go on the road and beat Minnesota, you got to wonder why Minnesota playing this game indoors. You would think Minnesota, they want it cold, but I just watch the Ice Bowl, can't you tell? So that's that. So those are those four. And then we got NBA for my last two picks. And I think I'm going to go with the Wizards. I just don't know which Wizards team is going to show up. But they're at home tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are a little down. The Wizards played well last night. They played down to their opponent. This is what I mean. They played down to the opponent. But I think they win this game tonight. And hopefully they'll get ready for the All-Star break, which is coming up real soon. And so I'm going with the Wizards on that one. And then they've got Giannis, or the guy from Milwaukee, he's coming up on Monday in a special Dr. King matinee. They play at 2 o'clock, and that game's going to be televised as well. So I got the Wizards winning three straight. So they beat Orlando, they'll beat Brooklyn tonight, and then go on to beat Milwaukee coming up on Monday. And those are not givens, but I think they'll win that. So hopefully I can even my record up. So the Milwaukee game is a bonus game. Hopefully I can even this record up, because I can tell you I took a beating last week in my prediction. So you can't take me to Vegas yet. So, hey, we just got a few more minutes in the show. Want to remind everyone, if you are looking for a speaker, book me, Coach Howard, www.extrapointsllc.com. I got the opportunity to speak down in Calvert County last week to a group of women business owners called the Dream Queen. So shout out to the Dream Queen. And if you're listening, thank you so much for allowing me to come in. So if you are looking for someone to motivate and inspire your team, Coach Howard, www.extrapointsllc.com. Also reach me on Twitter. I've been increased my Twitter following this week, so I'm excited about that. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Need more followers. At Extra Points LLC. On Twitter, at Extra Points LLC. And I'm usually on when games are being played, so watch my commentary there. I know I'll definitely be on this afternoon and tonight as we go through the NFL playoffs and divisional playoff weekend. If you want to email me, you have a show idea, that's coach@extrapointllc.com. So, hey, look, we enjoyed it. We had a great time. We're looking forward to next week's show. Hopefully the weather's a little warmer. Don't like the cold weather at all. And as always, enjoy that NFL divisional playoff. The extra point is up, and it is good.
Finish moment in it.